जय राधा माधव।
The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Text Number 21, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 1st November of 1994 in New Delhi, India.
Gopi jana balabha ivaradhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya This verse is being spoken by whom? Who is the speaker of the verse? King Chitraketu. King Chitraketu is speaking this verse to whom? To Parvati. Why? Because Lord Shiva, he was sitting in an assembly of great sages, and Lord Shiva had Parvati sitting on his lap. So Chitraketu had just obtained the mercy of the Lord. He was flying on a swan. And there he saw that here Chitraketu, King Lord Shiva, is sitting just like an ordinary man, you know, would sit with his wife in front of everyone. Even down in that assembly where Lord Shiva was sitting, there were many exalted sages present, but they did not say anything. Why? Because they knew that Lord Shiva is not an ordinary personality. They knew that Lord Shiva is one of the Mahajans, Sayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kamala, Kapila, Manu, Kalado, Janako, Vishwa, Bali, Vaya, Sakirvaya. They knew that Lord Shiva is not an ordinary personality. So, the other sages were there, but they were completely quiet. But Chitraketu, actually King Chitraketu, on one hand, he did not do any wrong. Because Chitraketu did not insult Lord Shiva. He did not act the way Daksha acted with Lord Shiva. He just said jokingly, "Arey Baba, what is this in public? It's not good." That's all he said. He didn't say that Lord Shiva was doing something wrong, you understand? So, actually, the Lord is the ultimate controller. So whatever the Lord does, he does for the devotee's benefit. Chitraketu was also a devotee. So Chitraketu, because he spoke in this manner about Lord Shiva and Parvati, this actually greatly angered Parvati. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had analyzed this. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's statement is that even though Chitraketu was not envious of Lord Shiva, he was not envious, but he should not have spoken like this. Why? Because Lord Shiva is after all a Mahajan. Lord Shiva is after all a very powerful demigod. He is not an ordinary demigod. Even Lord Brahma and Indra and all are very respectful to Lord Shiva. So Chitraketu should have understood that Lord Shiva is an exalted Vaishnava. And for me to speak like this, or even to think why Lord Shiva is sitting like this with his wife in public, is beyond his imagination. Of course, whatever great men do, others will follow. But still on the spiritual path, Prabhupada makes a point that one should be very humble and one should avoid all types of Vaishnava aparads. Prabhupada points out, quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Chitraketu's main offense was that he thought he knew more than Lord Shiva. Even though Lord Shiva was in a very exalted position, Chitraketu was thinking that I should correct Lord Shiva. So, Prabhupada points out Lord Chaitanya's instruction how one should make spiritual advancement, and Lord Chaitanya's instruction how by this mad elephant offense one can actually ruin one's spiritual life. Of course, in the case of Chituketu, we will discuss, show how Parvati, Lord Shiva was totally undisturbed. Chituketu said, hey, what is this? Lord Shiva did not get angry at all. He was totally undisturbed, completely cool. And the other sages who were present there, actually they were also undisturbed. Why? Because they had full faith in what Lord Shiva is doing. They know that Lord Shiva doesn't make mistakes. But Parvati, she got agitated. She got disturbed. So actually, Parvati getting disturbed is also spiritually not wrong, because Chitraketu, on the one hand, though he was not envious of the Lord. He was not envious of Lord Shiva. He knew that Lord Shiva was a very powerful demigod. But still, because of the fact that he made this light-hearted comment, which tended to misrepresent Lord Shiva's exalted position, so Parvati was not wrong in wanting to curse Chitraketu. So Parvati got very angry. And Parvati said, now you have spoken like this about my husband. Actually, when Parvati was addressing King Chitraketu, she was addressing King Chitraketu just like a mother addresses a child. She was addressing him just like a mother addresses a child. Just like Mother Yashoda would chastise Lord Krishna. In other words, her curse on King Chitraketu was actually a curse and a benediction at the same time. It was more of a benediction than a curse. Why? Because in his next life, he became this demon Vritasura. And then, he went back to Krishna. Just like Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by Sringi. You're going to die in 7 days. So on the one hand, young man being cursed, young man dies, everybody says, Are Baba, Jawan Ami Marga. Old man dies, nobody says. Old man has to die. But young man dies, everyone says, young man, isn't it? So Parikshit Maharaj was a young man, 24, 25, that's all. And came nice wife, children, everything. Still he was cursed to die. And Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed to die, he just accepted this curse as the cause and desire of the Lord, as the will of the Lord, and as an opportunity from which he could retire from worldly duty. And he prepared for his departure in a very royal manner. So, Chitraketu's problem was that he had become proud. That was his problem. Devotee has learned a little bit about spiritual life. He thinks he knows everything. King Chitraketu just got a little bit of benediction. And he thought he knew more than Krishna. He thought he knew more than Lord Shiva. And he tried to correct Lord Shiva. He just got a little bit of benediction, not much. But he thought he knew everything. You understand? So similarly, sometimes we come to spiritual life and we think, now I know everything. I know more than a guru, I know more than the shas. I know everything, what's good for me. Prabhupada once gave an example. Prabhupada said, there's a Bengali proverb, that a horse, when it is galloping, and if it tries to eat the grass on the ground, it will never be able to eat the grass on the ground. The horse is galloping, and it wants to eat the grass on the ground. So similarly, Prabhupada said, if a disciple thinks that he knows more than the spiritual master as to what is best for him, then his position will be exactly like that of the grass of the horse that is galloping and trying to eat the grass. So a disciple should always consider oneself to be, as Lord Chaitanya exemplified, what was that? I'm simply a fool, and my spiritual master said, just like when Lord Chaitanya met the Mayavadi sannyasis in Banaras, they all knew of Lord Chaitanya's fame as a Sanskrit scholar. Lord Chaitanya, at the age of 11, he had defeated Kashmiri Pandit, the top notch scholar in India at that time. So his fame as a Sanskrit scholar was widespread. So the Mayavadi sannyasis told him, "Are Bhai, you're such a famous Sanskrit scholar. Kya, what are you doing chanting like a madman, Hare Krishna? Read the Vedanta. What is this? You're traveling and doing Harinam everywhere, every town, every village. Stop traveling. Come and join us and study the Vedanta." Isn't that what they said? And Lord Chaitanya very politely told them, "You're telling me study the Vedanta because I am a Sanskrit scholar. And you are saying I should not travel from village to village and preach. But my spiritual master said, I'm simply a fool. So you just tell Hare Krishna, you are not fit to study Vedanta." So why did Lord Chaitanya say that? Because Lord Chaitanya wanted to show to all future spiritual aspirants that if you want to make a spiritual advancement and eventually develop love of God, don't for a minute think that you know more than the spiritual master what's best for you. The moment the disciple begins to think, "I've learned so much, now I know what's best," he's going to be exactly in the same position that Chitraketu has landed himself. Chitraketu thought, now he's got some benediction, he can correct Lord Shiva. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur therefore justifies Chitraketu being cursed by Parvati because of this offense that he had committed. So this one theme that Prabhupada has constantly made in this section of the Bhagavatam is how the disciple must cultivate the mood of humility in embarking on this path of devotional service. Because often what happens, one is a neophyte devotee in the initial stages of spiritual life, but he thinks he knows as much as a Paramahansa should know. And he thinks that, now I've reached a stage where I can take off on my own. So that is actually a very, very dangerous path to take. Prabhupada said, one should not be like a monkey trying to jump over the head of the spiritual master unless one wants to commit spiritual suicide. So Chitraketu, he is actually being corrected by Parvati. Now, Chitraketu, of course, was a devotee of the Lord. And he knew how behind everything there is the hand of the Lord. So when Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, what did Chitraketu do? Chitraketu accepted that curse as the will of the Lord. And through a series of verses that we have read prior to this one, King Chitraketu is pointing out how ultimately the Lord is the controller of everything. He compares the material world to the waves of a constantly flowing river. If you go and stand on the bank of the river, sometimes you go on Jhu Beach, we see the waves are constantly coming, huh? One after another. So if you go and stand on the banks of the river, you see that the waves are constantly coming, huh? It's not a one wave, then no more wave for another half an hour. So similarly, in the material world, there's always going to be happiness, distress, because the waves are flowing constantly. Therefore, one day you're honored, the other day you're dishonored, one day you're happy, the next day you're in distress. Now, in the verse that we're discussing today, King Chitraketu says, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. In other words, there's only one Bhagavan, not many Bhagavans. Ekala Ishwar Krishna Arsambhitaya. There is only one Supreme God, and all others are His subordinates, and all others are His servants. Now this one God has many energies. There's no limit. Parasya Shakti Vividhaya Shruyate. Parasya Shakti. Many, many energies he has. But the great sages have summarized all these energies of the Lord into how many categories? Three broad categories. Not just three categories, but three broad categories. The difference between three categories and three broad categories is, three broad categories means is the principal energy, but within that many other sub-energies are included. Whereas if you just say three energies, then there's no scope for any other sub-energies being included. You understand? So the Lord has many unlimited precious shakti vividhaya shruyate. Unlimited energies. But they've been summarized into three. Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, Tristha Shakti, external, internal and marginal. And the Supreme Lord, He's unaffected by the working of the material world. Just like Prabhupada gives the example. The High Court judge is doing his duty. One man is being hanged, another day is being imprisoned, another person is being imprisoned for one day. But he's doing his duty, sentencing everyone according to their karma, you understand? But he doesn't get affected by it. And the living entity is put into ignorance and into different conditions of bondage. What is the bondage that we are in? Our bondage is, we are caught, samsara, janma, mithya. Cycle of birth and death, this is our bondage. Just like Krishna says in Gita, yajnata karma nyata lokayam karma bandhana. If you do yajna for me, then you get out of this bondage. And if you don't do yajna for me, you are more deeply entangled. Now the living entity comes in the material world and is subject to happiness and distress due to, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, the presence of the three modes of material nature. How many modes are there? Three. And the fourth is Sudasattva, which is not a material mode. It has a level of pure goodness. So the three modes, just like rainwater, when it is falling from the cloud, it is pure. But the moment the rainwater hits the earth, it becomes contaminated. So the moment the living entity comes in contact with material nature, it comes under the influence of the three modes. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now what are the features of the three modes? In goodness, one is illuminated by happiness. What does that mean? Just like many times we go to preach, and even our devotees, they become devotees, they get initiated, they think they get illuminated by happiness. I know everything now. So that is the symptom of illumination of happiness. I know everything. So, one in goodness thinks, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing nothing wrong. What are you preaching to me for? Sometimes you go preaching to people, isn't it? They say, by Swamiji, I'm doing everything. I go to Tirupati, I go here, I go to Kumbh Mela, I'm doing yajna, I'm doing havana, isn't it? Don't tell me anything. Go to somebody who's not doing all these things. He thinks, now you've reached the stage, and there's nothing beyond to go. I'm not a bad man. That is goodness. Then there is mode of passion. What is the symptom of the mode of passion? Passion means too much attachment. Besides too much attachment, passion motivates an individual to work and to perform fruitive work. What is fruitive work? Fruitive work is a sort of business transaction. Just like you go to a shop, you say, here is some money. So the shopkeeper says, okay, you give me 10 rupees, I'll give you 10 rupees worth of money, not more. So fruitive work is Krishna, you go to Tirupati, go to Kumina, do a donation, do this, do that, but in exchange for that, you want some benefit. Yesterday when I was coming on the plane, I saw there was an Indian paper, so I just saw it for 1 minute. So it said, now in Andhra Pradesh, religious fever has become very strong among the politicians. Now they have election. So everybody is going to Tirupati to do puja, to destroy the enemy. The party in power is going to Tirupati to do puja. And the opposition is also going to go to Tirupati to do puja. So they're all going to puja, they're all going to tantra or tantric gurus who can destroy the other man's opponent, you understand? So that's a story about. I will go to Lord Venkateshwar, but I'll only go at election time. Rest of the time I'm very busy. Like when we were children, we would go to the temple at examination time. So the point is, this is more of passion brings one to fruitive actions, and more of passion leads one to attachment. Then there is ignorance. What is the symptom of ignorance? Ignorance, the characteristic is laziness, madness. Those are in the mode of ignorance. They'll just sleep all day. Like in Canada, you see many people, all day they're drinking beer, sitting a hot sun. No work, nothing to cover. So many people. So that is ignorance. Laziness, madness, inertness, and passion, attachment, fruitive work. Goodness, you're false, you get the concept of, you're illuminated by happiness. Like sometimes people become Sanskrit pundits. They say, well, I don't have to read these purports. I can read Krishna's language directly. I don't need sadhus to explain to me. I'm reading Krishna directly. I'm Sanskrit pundit. What does Krishna call them? Maya Partha Jnana. Four times the people don't surrender to me. Namam Daskitana Buddha. Rapadeyanti Naradama. Maya Partha Jnana. Ashram Bhavan Ashutaha. Isn't it? So, in goodness, just like in India, you have all these Sanskrit vidyalas. People go there, they get kanthas, everything. Bhagavad Gita kanthas, Bhagavatam kanthas. I was in Kurukshetra a year ago or something. So there were all these people from some Sanskrit vidyalas swimming there and smoking greens also. But they also know all the shlokas and all. So, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita what are the characteristics of one in the mode of goodness. He says the characteristic of one in the mode of goodness is that all the 9 gates in the body are illuminated with knowledge. How many gates are there in the body? What are the 9? So what are the 9 gates? Rectum, anus. 9 gates in the body. Just like you come inside this temple room, there's 1 gate, 2 gates, 1 gate, 3 gates. Now if all these 3 gates are locked up with mortar, Godrej lock, then thieves cannot come in, isn't it? But if 2 gates are locked up and 1 gate is not locked up, then thief can come in. Am I right? So you have 9 gates in the body. Krishna doesn't say goodness means 6 gates are illuminated and 3 gates are in passion. He says all 9 gates must be illuminated with knowledge. Now what does it mean, illuminated with knowledge? That means you must know, all 9 gates must know what is right, what is wrong. The eyes will say, yes, I want to see a vulgar scene, I want to see pornography, I want to see that obscene scene. But then eyes trained in goodness will say, no. This is bad for your spiritual life. Why? Because if you see something vulgar, obscene, then your mind will get agitated. Then your mind will think about something obscene, then your other intelligence will also get bewildered. This is how Artemil got bewildered. What did Artemil do? He was coming from the forest. Why did he go to the forest? To pick up flowers for puja. You know that? Ajamil had gone to the forest to pick up flowers for his Brahminical puja. So you can say, if I get gone to do bhakti, Ajamil had gone to the forest to get flowers for his puja, even Brahman. But he made one mistake. He saw a prostitute making love with a client and he started staring at that incident. Then he started meditating in that incident. And then he got attached to that incident. So, the very first step is, don't let the eyes wander into areas of sense enjoyment. Then the ears. Ears are very fond of hearing some filmy music, huh? Some Lata Mangeshkar song or some Anup Joda bhajan and all that. So you said, no, I don't want to hear this. I want to hear the chanting of devotees. Doesn't matter even if he doesn't know how to sing. The point is, we want to hear something. So we should hear songs sung by devotees. We want to taste something. So don't eat something that is unoffered to Krishna, but eat only Krishna prasad. The standard for a Vaishnava is patram puspam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. Patram puspam phalam toyam, which is offered to Krishna with love and devotion. So he may be Mr. Vegetarian, but he's not offering with love and devotion. Of course, in emergency you may do it, but just to satisfy your taste buds, now I feel like eating those kachoris, chola bhatura. So he's vegetarian, Ali. Now, you have to control yourself. Deva Rupa Goswami says, Vacha Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jeeva Vegam Adhara Pasta Vegam. What does Vegam mean? Vegam means pushings. So there are pushings in the body. Eat without discrimination, think without discrimination, hear without discrimination. That's the nature of the senses which you will agitate. But you must be able to tolerate them. You must be able to control them. You must be able to discriminate between what is desirable, what is undesirable, what is detrimental, what is an obstacle. You understand? So, Krishna explains, the symptom of motive goodness is that all 9 gates are illuminated with knowledge. You understand? So in all the 9 gates is a big tala, lock. And Maya tries to come in. So there are 3 modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. Prabhupada gave a very simple example. He said, you're an artist now, you're an artist. I don't. So artists should know how many basic colors they are. What are the 3?
Red, yellow, and blue.
Red, yellow, blue. Red, yellow, blue are 3 basic colors. And the thousands of colors that you see, combinations, are the result of a mixture of 3 basic colors. Red, yellow, blue. So similarly, Prabhupada explained that these 3 modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, they mix together and they create varieties of illusion for the living entity. And you get an illusion, we think, I'm Mithi, I'm this body, I know everything, I know that. You understand? So we have to get out of the modes. How do you get out of the modes? By Sarva Dharma Paritajya Maham Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Ham Tvam Sarva Papi Vayo Moksha Shyami Masutara. So when Krishna says, give up everything and surrender unto me, Krishna is pleading with us, get out of the material modes and come to the level of what? Śuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Now what is the difference between pure goodness and goodness? Rupa Goswami says, Anya vilasita syunyam jnana karmada naranatam anukulena krishna silalim bhakti uttama. Uttama. Uttama means topmost. So which bhakti is topmost? Anya vilasita. Don't do anything unfavorable for spiritual advancement. Don't do anything unfavorable for spiritual advancement. You understand? And then, you have all these different types of vilas. That bhakti is topmost bhakti, which is Krishna conscious movement is teaching. So the point is, goodness, thou, superior to passion and ignorance, it's not the ultimate answer. And if you want to come to the ultimate level, then we have to take to the path of pure devotional service. Now what does pure devotional service mean? Pure devotional service means you want to serve without expecting anything in return. I don't want any honor. I don't want any possession. I don't want any respect. I just want bhakti, 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 bhakti. So that is, of course, a very advanced thing. But we at least have to come on the right highway. You may want to go from Bombay, Delhi to Bombay. Someone will tell you 1500 kilometers. But first you have to come on the right highway. Then you will reach the ultimate. But if we don't even come on the correct highway, how will you reach your destination? So at least all of you have come on the right highway now. But on this main highway going back to Godhead, there are many side exits. You understand? You understand side exit? No. Like, you have been ring road. Ring road is like the best highway you have in India. Huh? So ring road when you're going. But many side roads are there on ring road. One goes to Bengali Market, one goes to Supreme Court, one goes to Connaught Place, one goes to Red Fort, isn't it? But if you want to go to Chandigarh, you have to stay on ring road and then get on the Punjab highway. You know? Don't get up on the side road. So similarly, Krishna conscious movement is the highway that will take you to Krishna. But on the side, there are many side streets, so don't get distracted, because as a result of these six types of anarthas, there are six types of reactions. What are they? There is hunger, there is thirst, then there is calm, then there is growth, then there is illusion, old age. This is the result of the power of these six anarthas, you understand? Hare Krishna.